fire pits, but you know.
So I like to ask, like, hey, where did you see that? Can you send me, you know, a link to where you found information on that? So that I can look at it for myself and remove their bias from the facts and kind of measure, fill that out for myself. And there was something else that I was going to say that, but I can't remember. So just getting the facts for myself to be able to make the decision. Oh, and I was going to say, you know, if someone has criticism for me, I'm open to hearing that because that can often lead me to improve, like, what I'm doing. There is constructive criticism, which I'm open to receive that. And I will usually, I would say, I've always been willing in the experiences that I've had of criticism to go to a person and say, like, hey, you know, where did this come from? And try to gain that understanding and build a connection with them so that we can work together moving forward. I do find, I don't know that enjoyment is the word, but satisfaction in building a bridge where there had been a problem or rift. So.
A lot of stuff I probably wouldn't be privy to, which is probably a good thing. But the things that I do hear about, I mean, just constructive criticism that needs to be taken into account when I hear that, learn from it and grow from it. But a lot of the big stuff that happens online is, you know, I want to make sure to be open and honest that, you know, these are forward-facing people, you know, board members are forward-facing people in the community, and if you have concerns, you can bring them to them. Usually online.
It's non-constructive criticism, because even in that aspect, there's a little bit of truth in there. If you dive deep into it, you may be able to pull something out that maybe you didn't do something the way you wanted to, but definitely with the responding online, an online world stays in its own online world. If we need a discussion about criticism, this is the avenue in this room to have that conversation, not digitally.
So you're saying you would not respond?
No, not respond.
Okay.
On the digital platform, in this forum, yes.
And Justin, can I ask a follow-up question? I mean, would you be willing to put yourself out on social media so that where people could contact you and that kind of, just throwing that out,
I want to give people as many opportunities to reach me. Mm-hmm. I don't have social media just more as a personal.
I gotcha. Absolutely.
Be a voice on there and say, if you need to reach me.
Gotcha.
Here's how you can do it.
Okay. Just threw her right under that bus. Welcome to the secretary position.
All right.
How should the board ensure that parents and community members have opportunities to share diverse viewpoints that can inform board decisions?
Like Josh said in the last question, like, that main place to have those discussions is here in this room during board meetings. I would greatly welcome people, invite people, like reach out to people, making these board meetings hopefully a place where they feel comfortable and welcome coming and sharing those thoughts and feelings. It's an intimidating thing to stand up and speak out here. So I think building that relationship with them so they want to come and they feel like they can come, as well as just being open myself and available in as many ways as possible for them to reach me personally to talk to me about something. I just as some like outside the box thoughts that come to my mind is having something like a district newsletter that goes out regularly that informs people of maybe decisions that we're ruminating on or issues that we're having, so that we're saying, hey, this is what we're facing. Come, like, share your thoughts with us, because a lot of times you just don't know what's happening. And so, but to be able to put out information to them so that they see what's happening and what we're up against and what we're looking to do in the near future, so that they, if that is an issue that is important to them and they feel passionate about, that they know it's time to speak up and this is when they can come.
So you're saying as a board member, you would have a separate website than the district website that we already have?
Well, our district website, in my experience, is not very informative. I think the superintendent welcome message is from 2018 or something like that. So whether it's our district page, would be one source of having more information freely, like, posted there for people to find. But if our board put out a newsletter that went out, you know, like the schools do newsletters that go out and they show what's upcoming for the school and whatnot, if we had something that got disseminated that we would put together as a board to show, hey, these are the decisions we made, this is the changes, this is what we're working on, like this is kind of opportunities for you to come in and speak up and be a part of our process here.
You think
that
would
answer your question?
Yeah, I just have a follow-up. Do you think that a newsletter would be more, reach more people than our online presence? Because I know each school site does an online, you know, of everything that's going on, and the district does an online, you know, which is kind of followed more than the website. Do you think that would be more beneficial, or what do you think?
I don't know that more beneficial, because I think the online presence is important, too. Mm-hmm. And to keep the online presence out there. But I think the benefit of a newsletter is that for the people who aren't on social media, you know, we have a lot of families who don't do that for various reasons. So it's something that could reach them. But it's also they don't have the opportunity to comment back socially, like on the social media does. So they get information, and then it's a come to the meeting or call us, you know, down here. So it kind of invites a different interaction when you have a newsletter rather than social media. So you want to hit the social media people, but you also want a way to reach the other people who aren't on social media or who don't want to comment or interact with that in that way.
Thank you.
Justin.
I'm sorry, I lost him.
10.
I'm a true advocate of the town hall forum, although Austin kind of scared me when he talked about one of the last ones he came in to watch the show.
Yeah.
You probably have to be a little cautious with that. But for some people in the town hall, they're a little nervous to talk. Forgive me if this board has the ability or the app, but to send anonymous text messages and responses during a town hall meeting, it allows people that don't feel comfortable or confident to stand up or voice their opinion, to be able to send that off digitally and anonymously, to be able to voice their thoughts, their opinions, We have a moderator. I've pushed this at multiple boards that I've been in. Sometimes some of the comments do not need to be read. I've seen some nasty things that should not be read in public. But definitely having an online forum, a digital anonymous forum during town hall meetings would be something wonderful to keep with the public.
May I ask a follow-up question to that, please?
Yeah.
So you want the anonymous messaging, but then you say that there are times things that shouldn't be read. Who decides what should be read and what should not be read?
The moderator. So we would have somebody from the community that is that is biased from the school board or a non-representative from the community that would read those and be able to ask those. We definitely don't want public slandering or public foul language to be read at a school board meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up to your follow-up?
Please.
So Wheatland's a small community.
Yes.
Do you think by the formal, which I get in big, large settings, if I go to a supervisor meeting or something like that, but I mean, we have a handful of, you know, do you think it takes away from the small community feel of the small school district by trying to put, you know, these, I'll just say, I'm a person, if I feel it, I'm gonna say it and everybody's gonna hear it because that's my personality and I stand behind what I say, whether it's good, bad, ugly, different. And sometimes I probably should just keep my mouth shut. That's, you know, but how do you feel about the small town community, you know, just being able to, I want people when they come in here to feel comfortable to say, hey, and know that we're listening. How do we combine both, or how do you think that could work?
So still keep with the same structure of being able to speak publicly. This is for those individuals that may not feel so confident to be able to stand up and articulate what they want to say or what they want to ask. It's just an extra avenue to bring in maybe thoughts that haven't ever been put out there by someone that's a little timid in public speaking.
And how would you get them to get over that? How can we, as a board member, how could you make those people that are more, I mean, I know if people are shy or that kind of stuff, but is there a way to make them feel like, hey, these are good people, you know, we don't have to, so somebody comes in here as a board member, I hope that I can make people feel like, hey, we're approachable, that kind of stuff. For is there a way as a board member you feel that you could bring more continuity to the, for people who don't feel that they could approach us, I guess, is the question.
I would definitely do a little bit different than, not to be, I probably shouldn't talk like this, but I've never been here before. I have never met any of you individuals before.
A lot of these people haven't.
To come in as somebody from the outside, I would have hoped that I would have seen and met other board members coming in, being able to introduce myself. But putting that aspect at the front door when people first walk in, introducing yourself, making yourself known, getting to know those individuals. And then in that setting is when you'd be able to say, hey, we have this new app that you can anonymously ask questions during our town hall meeting, or you can still walk up to the microphone and ask questions in the normal fashion that you do.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Facebook. I'm kidding. No, I think all those are great.
What do you see as the top needs of our school district? Justin.
Bless you.
I will definitely have to piggyback off of Justin. Infrastructure is going to be a huge thing with Wheatland and the school district for the high school and Wheatland Unified School District. It's going to need to be looked at. With the graduating class of the high school last year of just over 200, and then the incoming class, the majority coming from Bear River, we're looking at over 400 students that started the freshman year at the high school. So the impact is here, and it's here now. We have to start truly looking, and I apologize if the board already knows this, but we have to truly start looking, or we are not going to survive as a town, let alone a school district, if we're not looking at the infrastructure.
I agree with the infrastructure, but I'll add that I think teachers are important. I know there's a lot of great teachers been here for a long time, and then it's the talent acquisition to continue to find new teachers, I think should be a top priority.
I agree with everything that's been said thus far. I'll add community relationship building, that trust that was talked about earlier, you know, that gaining and keeping that trust of our community so that they will come and participate with us, as well as we have a lot of working parents and we have a lot of Spanish-speaking families, and I think they should be a big priority as well as making sure that we are supporting them in their students' education.
Okay. What budget priorities do you believe should guide the board's decisions?
Definitely the students' interest at heart first, and with definite just general common sense, making sure that we prioritize where it needs to be prioritized with our students and using our common sense to vote that way.
Yeah, I agree. Common sense, looking forward to the future, making sure that we are prepared for possible expansion, money's being spent to be the most advantageous to the kids and to the staff as possible.
I'd also go to that student as the center goal and what affects the students most. So, like, obviously the things that are in their classroom and their teachers, like, that's going to have the biggest impact if we fail to put the budget towards that needs to go towards those types of things. But as well as efficiency, you know, knowing we have the wants perhaps of what we want to give the kids and what we want to do for them, but there are needs, like what do they need to have, and perhaps some of our wants have to wait for a day when the purse gets a little bit bigger. To be able to, I know looking at the budgets over the past year that I've been really looking at them, it's like we have a lot of tech contracts, and I don't know what all those companies do, but perhaps, you know, tech isn't necessarily the need for our kids, so maybe there's something there, but being able to really look at and identify the needs and where that plays in with the wants.
Yeah, similar answer. I think we need to use wisdom and common sense before thinking about the growth of the district and school and just keeping the best interest of the kids in mind.
What particular experiences, skills, or areas of expertise have prepared you to serve effectively as a board trustee?
I think I'll start with that. I'm eager to serve my community in whatever aspect that may be, whether it's on this board or another board or just working on the Little League field or whatever I may be doing to help the community. I find a lot of pride and joy in that. As I'm getting older, I find that my experiences and skills kind of lend better to this sort of setting rather than the backbreaking setting of breaking dirt or whatever. but I grew up in a family
I got my bachelor's degree in social work, and I had a special interest in foster youth kids, and my internships were in like education settings. So it built in me a real interest in helping those who are struggling in life to be able to get on their feet and find success in educational settings specifically. In addition to that, through the years, I've had lots of leadership roles with my church community, and so that has built a lot of leadership skills and being able to organize things and set visions, push forward, you know, goals and plans, and being outreach to people and supporting families who are in need. And then, as I've mentioned, last year I campaigned for the school board, and so that really immersed me in our district specifically, and it really kind of got my mind on board with how we're doing and what is happening in our district. So I think all those things kind of prepared me through the years for this.
Yeah, I think most of my career, I worked in mission-critical maintenance facility work, and so big decisions have to be made. The decisions you make have big ramifications. You got to work well in a team with other maintenance personnel. And then right now, my role as a project manager, I'm actively managing several projects, multi-million-dollar budget. I think those would help me in this setting as well.
Particular experiences I have, if I've sat on multiple and numerous boards in my previous history outside of here, currently sit on one locally. I'm trying to get myself out there to help with the public and get my name known, and some of the skills that I bring to the table. For 20 years, I've been interpreting, writing, and enforcing federal, state, local, and tribal laws and regulations. It's one thing that I kind of have a knack for, being able to dissect the gray area with the legalese and the mumbo jumbo written by some of the federal laws that come through. It's something I really enjoy doing. And if we ever need someone that's certified in the interview and interrogation tactics, I have that too. One of the biggest things is I'm an outsider. I'm not from here. I'm fresh-faced here. I'm less than 4 years to the general area. I'm 2 years here to the area of Wheatland, and I want to insert myself into the public. I want to be a voice for our city, our school district, and myself, my family, and my children.
Thank you.
Last one for me, guys. What strengths would you bring to the board?
I feel like I'm probably repeating myself with this one. I kind of, these three questions, I kind of all go into one answer, but I think the strengths that I particularly feel I would bring to the board is my openness, my willingness to talk with people and to hear people out. I sometimes throw myself under the bus because I am so willing to just interact with people on good faith, that they're coming to me with a real concern, with a real experience behind that concern. And so I just want to interact with them. I want to hear them. I want them to feel heard, and I want to help them in ways that I can to be able to resolve that concern that they have. So I think that's one of the biggest things I feel I can personally do.
Yeah, I think I'm very level-headed. I've been told by my wife I'm annoyingly level-headed. I think I have a strength that I'm able to see past the emotion a lot of times and be able to get to the heart of an issue. And so I think that's a strength I have. And then I think just the makeup of our household is a strength for me. The fact that I've got a teacher in my home, we've got students in our home, and I'm a parent as well, so we have all three of those perspectives represented. And it's we're regularly having conversations around the dinner table about, you know, what's going well, what's not. So I think the setting that I'm in is a strength to the board as well.
Just a few words: empathy, communication skills, and a thirst for knowledge.
have you previously had any board service, leadership, or volunteer experience? If so, please describe. And are you currently serving on any boards?
I do not have any board experience. I'm not serving on any boards right now as far as leadership and volunteer experience. Obviously, the last 12 years having a life as a teacher, you get moved into many volunteer roles. So I've worked a lot in the classroom, helping her, read to the students, volunteered at the fall festivals, all that kind of stuff. I served for several years in my church as a small group leader and a teacher, and got the opportunity this last softball season to start coaching in the Little League system.
So your wife told you to do that. That's a good man right there.
I was a California representative for the National Indian Gaming Commission, based out of Washington, D.C. Worked with multiple tribes in Central and Southern California, also with the NTGCR, National Tribal Gaming Regulator, and, NTGCR. Too many acronyms. And the Central Valley Networking Regulator meeting, working with all tribes in Central and Southern California to come together to try to help out and make sure that everyone's on the same page when it comes to tribal sovereignty, when it comes to gaming regulations, all rules and regulations within a casino. I have stepped away from those since I have moved up here, but I am part of the Wheatland Bear River Shotgun Board here in.
That's the only board you're currently serving on is the
shot. The only board I'm on right now.
So in my past, I served on the First Five board for Yuma County. I did that for a couple of years. I'm currently serving on the Childhood Abuse Prevention Center Sacramento's board. I've been there for 13 or 14 years now. My main role there is fundraising, but they do a lot of great work in the community for sleep safe programs and educating parents of lower income on, especially new income parents, on what to expect when they get home with their baby. I've just finished up my 2-year term as Little League president. Thank you so much to Joe Walter for taking that over.
I'm going to tell him you said you'd help with the
the
grounds, too.
I'm still the vice president, so I'm there for assistance. I'm also currently serving on the Mosquito Vector Control Board, thanks to Justin Guzman.
Previously. But again, as I've mentioned, a lot of leadership in my church. I'm currently part of the presiding leadership of the women's organization of our church. So we kind of oversee all the women, which means pretty much all the families. And so in terms of if they have family needs, we help address those and get them the support that they need, as well as just creating that community among our women and that kind of stuff. I've served on, for the past year, the Bear River Site Council, and that's been an enjoyable experience, and I've been part of the PTC since it started 2.5 years ago at Wheatland L, and so that's been a great experience working together to plan the events and fundraising and support the school.
Okay, last one, and I know you guys are heartbroken over that. What do you believe sets you apart from all the other candidates?
I believe we're very similar. Strong family values, everyone sounds the push for strong common sense. I think the thing that sets me apart, the biggest thing, is I'm not from here. I'm an outsider coming in. I want to be part of this community. I want to see where I can help out. Another thing that sets me apart is just my practicing with federal, state, local, and tribal rules and regulations, being able to interpret, write, understand, and enforce all of those.
Agreed. There's no wrong decision for you all to make here. I don't want to be in your seat. If I've been chosen, I don't want to be in that seat.
would say the one thing that sets me apart is just my experience with the district over the past year and with campaigning and really diving into this role in research and just participation in the schools. I feel that's something that I bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Austin. I don't know that I can say what sets me apart. You know, a big reason why I applied was just the unknown of who was gonna fill this seat, you know, and then when the applicants came out, I was very relieved. You know, everyone here on this, you know, they've already played a part in my family's lives. You know, Austin's coached my kid, Tamron's a family friend, Josh, haven't met her personally, but I know his wife oversees the after school program that my daughter's a part of. So if every one of them, you know, that you guys don't have the wrong decision. So
I'm gonna slaughter this, but I'm flying off the seat of my pants here. But one of the things that all of you mentioned was like going back to the grocery store conversation, running into somebody in the grocery store. And all of you mentioned being open, listening, and talking, and trying to understand and give them as much information as possible. How do you balance that with keeping the information that is discussed in closed session separate? How do you balance the need of privacy with closed session with providing information to the community? Did I ask that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think there is that you have to know the boundaries of discretion to know what can be shared and what cannot. And I think you have to have that genuine interaction with them to be able to say, sorry, like I can't share these details, but what I can tell you is, and then share the portion or the essential point or idea that you can share with them without sharing those confidential details. Because you want to bridge that gap of understanding for them, but you don't want to break that confidence, right? So knowing that line